I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Good day to you, drafters. Welcome to Are You Having a Draft? My name is Bradley James.
And you're joined by myself, Marcus Ellard.
Marcus, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well. Happy New Year.
Straight back at you. How was your Christmas? How was your New Year?
Lovely, jubbly. Very nice, thank you. Friends, family, cheese and wine.
We have a lovely show to start off the new decade with. Marcus.
Very exciting. We've got the regulars, including The Curse of Wolf, which is jam-packed. We've got Pookie Watch. Also, we'll be discussing all of the Christmas and New Year transfer and trade action, which you will not want to miss.
Trade action was heavy. We also discuss a very interesting proposal for the future of the draft. Very, very excited about this. And last but not least, we introduce a new game that you can all play along with at home.
And without further ado, here is the first episode of 2020. Are you having a draft?
Sure are, mate!
When we were like kids, when we were younger, 2020 is full spaceships.
It was like a date in movies where they'd be like, in the future, yeah. The year is 2020. And
the only thing we're missing
is the alien race of Blorg has come and attacked the planet Earth. Stuff like that.
That's where we are. The only thing that's missing is teleporters. We've got everything else.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, Pete's here. Hello, mate. Why am I wrong?
Hoverboards.
Hoverboards.
Okay, yeah.
I'll give you, by what, 2015?
I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, hoverboards and teleporters. Other than that, we've got everything. Yeah. Watches that you can answer your phone on.
Yeah.
Oh, video that. Phone.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Do you remember Battleship? Battlestar?
Galactica?
No. Battle something.
Battleship?
Troopers.
Space Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers. And he was talking to his parents on like a video phone. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Know, wow, that'll never happen. That's amazing.
That, you know, can't wait for that to happen in 50 years time.
That's how we did when you were in America. That's how we did the podcast with you on a video phone.
It's like we're in a movie, mate.
Probably a good time to introduce
two people who have joined us today. We have
Peter Everall, manager of Evil FC, currently lying six in the table.
And we're also joined by
Yare Jegbafumi, manager of the Cerebral Assassins. And I'm currently 13th. Let me repeat again, I am currently 13th.
And let me repeat for everyone, there's 13 teams in our league.
So that would make Yare bottom of the league.
For now.
Hey, give up!
Did you have a good Christmas, boys?
Yeah, great Christmas.
New Year's, all that stuff?
Yeah, it was brilliant. With the family, dogs. Yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Great time.
How is Princess?
Princess is great. Edie's a bit problematic at the moment. She's got a bit of a boil on the side of her face. Okay. Yeah, which is a bit sort of causing her a little bit of discomfort. But yeah, she's all right other than that.
Well, when we edit that, we might keep it a bit lighter and end on Princess is great. Pete, you?
Well, I really enjoyed what I refer to as Amazon Day.
Oh, yeah, what was that?
Traditionally referred to as Boxing Day.
You now call it Amazon Day. Amazon Day. Yeah, of course, watching all the games.
Football. That was brilliant.
That was brilliant. Yeah.
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So that was a highlight.
Where were we? Where were we for Amazon Day?
Well, I only broke Amazon Day for a 2-hour window, and that was to go to see the mighty Stoke City.
What a game.
Oh, were you there on that day?
Yeah.
We went and saw Stoke City take on Sheffield Wednesday, who were third in the table. Yeah. Stoke were bottom. Yeah. And on 73 minutes, Sheffield Wednesday took the lead. They went 2-1 up after Stoke scored really early in the game. And then Sheffield Wednesday made it 2-1. 73 minutes, mass exodus, including Pete's brother.
You're kidding
left
me.
Left the stadium. We were like, we're not going anywhere.
I mean, the only reason why I stayed was because I was waiting to boo them off the pitch.
Okay.
And stay we did. Joe Allen kept running at a player who used to be in the Premier League called Barry Bannon.
That's a Villa lad. He used to play for Villa.
Yeah, not quite good enough for the Premier League. No. Too, like, almost too good for the Championship. Almost. And the ref was really lenient on him. Barry Bannon committed three tactical fouls on Joe Allen. First one he let go. The second one he booked him. Should have been a second yellow card, sent him off. The third one, he let him off, but he clearly said to him, that's your last one. And Barry, you saw Barry Bannon again. Yeah, sorry. And from that point on, Joe Allen just strolled past Barry Bannon and more or less ran the show. And Stoke, in injury time, six or seven minutes of injury time, just peppered the goal with all sorts of, like, chances that came about. There were headers that were...
Just getting the ball in the box.
Getting the ball in the box.
There was in the mixer.
Yeah, there were some absolute gilt-edged chances that were missed. And then eventually, Kevin Campbell's son came on, showed everybody how to finish.
Yeah.
How's he been, actually?
He's a good finisher.
He's a great finisher. Mm.
And then Sam Vokes,
once
of the Burnley Parish,
scored
the winner. What a game it was.
His first ever goal at the Britannia in front of the Beaven End.
Really?
The what end?
Special moment for him.
What end?
The Beaven End.
Beaven?
Yeah.
Special moment for him. Was he an elder?
Yeah, yeah. He celebrated like it meant the world to him.
Oh, top man.
Good on him.
Yeah,
good on
so
him.
We had a mental. It was really good. Was celebrated. Good. It's like jumping up and down. Everyone was cheering.
The buzz on the walk back from the stadium as well. God. You could tell it was a group of fans who had been starved of a win. Yeah.
Then they came down to London to play Fulham and lost 1-0. Was it 1-0?
Always going to happen. Thanks, cheers, mate. Yeah.
Well, after that Christmas, New Year's roundup, I think that leads us nicely on to
The Curse of Wolf.
It is the first Curse of Wolf of the decade, and we're pleased to say that it took till 2020, but Johnny Wolf is firmly on board.
He's captaining the ship, the mighty ship Curse. He's captaining it into the icy waters of the Arctic. And Ritz, hit a noble shaped iceberg and sink to the icy depths. You can cut that bit.
We bloody can't.
I really enjoyed that.
Well, interesting you quite specifically used the word noble. I'm sure it was on purpose because Johnny Wolf signed a player called Mark Noble the week after he'd scored a couple of goals and was the highest scorer of the game week. That particular week, nobody owned him, so we all ended up paying a pound fine. Shortly after Johnny Wolf signed him, there was reports coming through that Mark Noble has suffered a foot injury, to which Johnny Wolf WhatsApped everybody, "Welcome to the team." It's called a knobs, but I think he meant nose. Shortly after that, we're talking 6 minutes later, another man on the same team, West Ham, who belongs to Johnny Wolf, called Aaron Cresswell, a 75% chance of playing in the next game. Johnny Wolf, welcome to the team, Cress.
I can't get my head around the fact that no one even had Mark Noble, though.
Well, I dropped him a while ago.
So you had him initially?
Yeah. Right. And I dropped him because he was not...
I mean, bearing in mind, West Ham players haven't scored any points for 6 months. It's not that surprising.
No, I suppose everyone's let go of the West Ham players. That's true. That is the first of the decade for...
The Curse of Wolf.
So we're discussing fines because a man who has always had an issue with authority goes by the name of Philip Cairns.
Always.
Or for various psychological reasons, which we won't go into.
Just
complained about a fine he's received for a poorly written transfer. A transfer that he's written incorrectly.
He's been a bit deliberately provocative with it.
He's always doing that. Yeah. And so he always gets the fine. And then he likes to chirp up and be like, oh, what have I been fined? And then, you know, inevitably.
Gets fined anyway.
So, Phil, please write transfers in an incorrect way, because otherwise...
It'll be a leaner August.
It really will.
It's going to be... Oh,
God bless him.
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
Or if anything, actually, Phil will respond more to, like, the reverse psychology of it. It's like, Phil, write your transfers correctly.
Yeah, Phil, stop messing around.
Yeah, Phil, stop being so naughty.
That'll definitely work.
Well, they want me to do something, I'd do the fucking opposite. On to Pookie Watch.
Oh, we had a bit of a thing before Christmas. We had a bit of a bet.
Bring in the results to the Pookie Watch bet. It was myself, yourself, Marcus.
Yeah.
Matthew Mellerly was here, as was the other Matthew, Brummett. And you very bravely suggested that Pookie was going to score 4 goals in the 5-game period that we gave him. Those games were Leicester away, Wolves at home, Villa away, Tottenham at home, Crystal Palace at home. You said 4 goals.
Yeah.
Myself and Melaloo said 2 goals.
Just looking through now.
I said I was going to be generous. I didn't say he was going to get 2 goals. Brummett revised his total once he saw the fixture list. And he went for 1 goal, which is exactly how many goals Pookie scored in that 5-game stretch. Technically, he scored 2.
Yes, he did. He scored one goal as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not go into it, the whole VAR offside business and armpits and all that crap. But
it got, do one thing, it got more ridiculous over Christmas.
Because so many of them happened.
It was like they were doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Like the referees were going, oh, it's Christmas. Let's really fuck with them now.
It's a really bizarre interpretation of clear and obvious. But there you go. So, Pookie Watch, this 5-game Christmas spell, 1 goal is what he got. Congratulations to Matthew Brummett for correctly anticipating that.
I think it was against Leicester as well, wasn't it?
It was the first game against Leicester. Congratulations. but since that game, Wolves, no goals. Villa, no goals. Tottenham, no goals. Crystal Palace, no goals.
Great striker.
Okay, Marcus, let's have an email section.
Well, off the back of Pookie Watch, we had a Danish listener, someone from Copenhagen, who supports Brøndby IF, who Pookie used to play for, actually.
Yeah.
And they've got a question for you, Brad. So they obviously love the Pookie Watch section.
Yeah.
They love Pookie, like I did at the beginning of the season, like Nick does now, and etc. So they have a keen ear out for the Pookie Watch section, but they have a question for you, Bradley.
Love a question.
So, Bradley, the question is, you say that Nick could have traded Pookie for a more decent, consistent player, but Pookie plays every game. And would you have traded Harry Kane if he had the same insane numbers? Probably referring to the beginning of the season. So say that Harry Kane started off like that. Would you have done that?
That is a good question. And the first part of that is asking whether I would have traded away Pookie, right?
Yes.
I would certainly have tried to, yes. Right. Plays for Norwich. Yes, insane numbers. There's no way a Norwich team was going to be able to sustain that level against Premier League opposition. If it was Harry Kane, the answer is no. The reason being is that you are not going to improve upon Harry Kane, really. There's not a striker in the Premier League better than him. So the idea of if he has insane numbers, okay, they won't last.
Yeah.
But any striker you trade for will not get those numbers. The only thing I could have done is potentially, if Harry Kane had those numbers, I could have traded Kane for two, maybe three players who were good players.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a brave man who does that. Maybe I wouldn't be brave enough. Maybe I would. It depends what deals I could get out there. But you're asking someone to part with three solid players for one. And as we will find out later, there is a big risk with having all your eggs in one Harry Kane shaped basket.
Let's talk about that now, because that's the thing. So on the actually on the way over here, because that's led us in quite nicely. On the way over here, I think Med's put on the WhatsApp group,
yeah.
Oh, Harry Kane injured till April. And with one of those sort of awkward faces. How do you feel about that, Bradley?
Pretty devastated, but at the same time, quite positive, because as we will discuss, I made a few cheeky changes over the Christmas period in preparation for the run into the end of the season.
AJ Bolan.
AJ!
Got in touch.
Wait, Adger?
And what they got in touch with...
Adjbo!
Amazing. AJ Bolan got in touch, right?
And Bolo.
Bolas. Bolo, AJ Bollers. Got in touch with the email titled Pete's Predictive Algorithm.
Oh, I love it already.
Okay, so basically,
he's trying his hardest not to make a noise. But he's smiling, he's grinning like a Cheshire cat.
I'm just wondering where this is going.
So they said they basically wondered
from
how.
From Bolo.
They wondered how accurate it was, right? As we all did. And they had a bit of spare time on their hand. So what AJ did is they used Pete's original method, taking the top 11 scorers from each team. They calculated what each drafter's total points be without trades from draft night up until now.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't account for captaincy, so that's assuming that nobody's captain, if that makes sense.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, okay, cool. So the chart below is accurate as of game week 16.
Little postscript insert here. We went on to cover this email and we did a terrible job. We made it incredibly boring. AJ, we're very sorry. That is on us. But thank you for your great work. Thank you for your efforts. We enjoyed ourselves talking about it, but the audio that came back, the editors were like, guys, no, just no. Buck up your ideas. I have to say I agree with them. Anyway, thank you again and back to the podcast.
So Meds is in the lead as far as making changes goes. And this is how they've signed off their email. Pete, not so much.
That was like brilliant.
Top work, Bollock.
So yeah, maybe what we'll fantastic. Do is maybe we'll screenshot that and put it on social media so people can kind of have a look at that.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's stick it on the Twitter, Mark.
No, to be fair, the Instagram is absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant.
It's all about the gram, isn't it?
It's all about the gram.
Super content.
So there you go. I've screenshotted that as we speak, and that can go on. One more email from my list here of notable emails is from Hélène, who is listening in France.
Hélène, she's contributed before to the podcast.
Absolutely. With her input to social media and stuff. We've talked about her on social media.
We have, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, because she's French, supports Manchester United.
Obviously. Is Melanie French?
Yeah, Melanie's French as well.
She came French.
Lots of lovely stuff about the podcast and about listening to us every other week.
Thank you, Hélène.
Thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
But has also really got into English football through listening to the podcast, follows it, streams it, etc.
Oh, very good.
And has asked, can she play fantasy football and choose a team if she is on her own?
She can.
Simple answer is yes, absolutely. By going on to fantasy football, the Premier League fantasy football
app. Yeah, you can just create a team and play it as you normally would and see how you get on amongst the masses.
And the next thing that she asks is, because obviously there'll be other people thinking this probably as well, is it too late to register now because we're mid-season?
It's not too late. You can create a team. You could create a team in the last game week if you wanted. Yeah. Obviously, you won't get the full season, but if you wanted to get some experience in before, say, doing a full season next year, sign up, get a team going, see how you do.
That's a good idea, because you can actually get used to it. Rather than learning on the job with a brand new season come August, September time, if you start now, you don't need to tell anyone, you don't need to tell anyone on your team, you don't need to join any leagues, whatever, you can just have a bit of a play around and see how you get on week to week. Also, the great thing about the app, one of the things great things about the app, is you can see who's got the best game week every week. It has your own score in the middle, it has the average on the left, and it has the best game week on the right side. So Helen could also compare herself to other people and how they're getting on.
Especially. I think also the website we use, PremierLeague.com, have a draft version of their own, and I'm pretty sure she could probably join a draft league and start one even this game week. And anyone can just put themselves into a league that, with anybody else who is starting late.
Yeah.
I would have thought. Yeah, so then she can have the draft experience and play against probably some strangers. Do that for the rest of the season.
And as far as setting up your team, which is the next part of it, the app's pretty straightforward, and you've listened to us for the whole season, so you can kind of tell who's doing well, as well as watching the football, you can kind of tell who's doing well. You know that Pookie isn't doing well anymore, but he used to be. You know that Harry Kane's now injured. Ed, don't pick anyone in Wolves' team. you can kind of use this as a point of reference. You can kind of use what you've heard.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Cover all the bases?
Tick for me.
Yeah.
Good. Great stuff. Well, I hope you found that helpful. And that's all for my notable emails. Thank you, Bradley.
The Christmas period saw a flurry of transfer activity. Pete, there's some that stood out for you.
First of all, seeing as though Yare's here,
yo,
we'll talk about him getting rid of his transfer pick.
Oh, the Salsam.
He launched him.
Bye, Lo Celso.
Good luck and thanks. It's just.
And Marie, who did you bring in?
I brought in. Bear with me for one.
A very memorable.
Tells you. Aaron Mooy from Brighton.
Oh, yeah, when he had that good game.
Yeah, I brought him in actually because I just needed a midfielder. But Lo Celso wasn't getting any games under Mourinho because of Mourinho's standard nonsense, isn't he?
Aaron Moy scored a lot of points for Huddersfield last year as well.
Yeah.
I think he'd be able to do more in a Brighton team is better than
a bit more creative
the Master League mode version of a football team that was Huddersfield last year.
Yeah.
By that I mean when you play a game of Pro Evo you play Master League mode, you get all these random players who they've made up from every corner of the globe. And that's you don't recognise any of the names. That's pretty much what Huddersfield Town's team looked like last
that
season. Like, who on earth are this lot? And then there was Aaron Moy in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Another transfer that caught my eye from our fellow podcaster Yare was bringing in Holgate for Everton.
Yeah, good signing that.
Jumping on the arrival of Ancelotti and hopefully the improved form of Everton. There's two people who notably caught my eye for their transfers. In a definitely a positive way. First of all, Nick, I think arguably did, and this will come runner up with the next person I'll mention next. I think Nick did the best transfer business of December. He also jumped on the Everton bandwagon, or should I say, an Ancelotti bandwagon, and brought in Sidibe.
Great sign.
Yeah, it's a super sign.
Good signing.
Well, gel that one.
And then another signing who was really good and a surprised it sort of left it this long was EK brought in Iheanacho.
I can't believe he's available.
Yeah.
I'd say Nick is, I mean, he's top of the league, but he's been very good at transfers. There's one that I feel he's dropped the ball on. He picked up Joe Gomez. He then dropped Joe Gomez.
Yeah.
And Melaleu, who's in second,
Picks him up.
And yeah. Gomez has since picked up a few clean sheets.
Yeah. So the main event of transfer discussion, manager of Liberator FC, do you want to tell us what your thoughts are on your December activity?
Well, this could have lent itself to the curse of Wolf, because I've put myself in a situation where I have a crocked team.
Ooh.
And that is because I, over the Christmas period, decided to snap up two big game players. I'm Rick Laporte to some people, and Leroy Sané, or Leroy Sane, as some people might even call him. Both injured, long-term injuries, both dropped by their managers. Leroy Sané was one of Yare's players.
At the start of the season.
And I think Meds had Laporte. They aren't due to play yet till February, by the sounds of it.
Sané's got an unknown return date.
Unknown. But reports are good in terms of them coming back from injury. And I just felt like if I wanted to make a move, I had to take a risk. I had to essentially forego points in those positions for a couple of weeks in the hope that it turns into bigger points further down the line when they come back from injury. Laporte is massive in that Man City defence. They could get some clean sheets with him.
Exactly.
Back. And Sané's brilliant. So once he comes back.
No, I think it's brilliant because you're playing the long game, and I like that. And that's the beauty about the draft, because too many people sort of think about short-termism. What you think, in the sense, you future-proofed your team. Now, you might be thinking that the short-term is a bit of pain, the long-term is decent gain, and the 100% City have missed Sané this season. I think like he just offers something different. He's just so direct, and they've missed that this season, that unpredictability as well. I think in defence, they really missed Laporte's leadership. And I think getting him in the way you did in sort of late December, was very clever.
Just unfortunate that Kane's got a bit of an injury and he's going to be out till April, so that just like exposes you a little bit.
Well, this is what essentially is...
It's the beauty of it.
This is why this has worked out for me in that regard, because if you haven't heard, boys and girls, Harry Kane is out for most of the season. Meds delivered the news to me as quickly as he could. Thank you, Meds. Appreciate that, mate. Yeah, so in terms of my team, you obviously need some big point scorers in there. Laporte and Sané both capable of that. And it's come about a time that I'm going to... If you're a Liberator FC fan, there's a strong chance you're going to be seeing Bradley James's face on the lowest game week. Insta story. In January, we've got two or three games coming up.
Makes a change from your race.
Oh, hang on, steady there, man. I've only had one lowest game week in the last five or six, I think.
There's a record to be proud of.
Yeah.
I have Kane injured. I have Sané and Laporte injured. Milivojevic decided to attack someone, personally abuse someone in an FA Cup game, so he's out for the rest of January.
Yeah.
Edison is supposedly back from injury, but still, it doesn't read as though he's going to be coming straight back into the team. And then J. Rodriguez, I find out today, is also injured. My team's looking pretty broken, so I'm predicting a slide.
Yeah,
I'm predicting a slide over January.
You're a downer. I got you as a downer.
You won't be fielding a full team for a while.
However, February, March, who knows?
April, May, June.
By June, Harry Kane's going to be...
Fine on all cylinders.
Along with some transfers this season, or over the Christmas period, we also had some trades. 11:59 PM GMT on the 31st of December 2019 was the trade deadline. After then, no more trades for the rest of the season.
And for those wondering, what is the reason behind that?
The reason behind that is to sort of prevent a situation where further down the line in the season, you may have a team who has not much to play for. They might find themselves in
the bottom of the league.
Either bottom of the league, and so far behind, maybe mid-table and kind of guaranteed of not finishing in the Caitlin zone and with no chance of winning. And any team like that could trade away their best player and sort of influence the title race or the catering zone race.
Which is only not a collusion.
Which would be, and potentially perform a collusion trade.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't accuse any members of the draft of being so underhanded as that. I mean, I would, but that's privately. But it means that we have a trade deadline to prevent that scenario happening. And the trade that everyone is talking about is Benjamin Mendy for Wan-Bissaka. Which happened between Pete and somebody else, who knows. There's another trade that happened. And there's a man here who had first-hand experience of how it went down. The players involved were Gabriel Jesus, Cesar Azpilicueta,
yeah,
also known as Pete.
Dave.
And they were both traded for Sergio Aguero. And the men involved in this trade, Marcus Ellard.
Good evening.
And Andrew O'Neill. The dust is settling. I'm wondering who is going to pitch in first, because there was a stir and a half when this was announced.
Right. I was half tempted to message Bradley to say, is Marcus texting you about being wound up about these messages about the trade? And I thought, no, leave it. Bradley comes around the house later, and he's like, oh, yeah, Marcus was texting me, like, wound up about the trades. I was like, I knew you would be. And that's why I was posting messages.
You know what? It isn't... Because I'm fine with the trade. Like,
Are you?
Yeah, completely. 100%. What it is that everyone else, like, thinks they know better and stuff, and that can predict the future, and that just... That's what... It's just annoying.
It's a wonderfully bold move.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
Because, I loved it.
Because this thing, right, so Andy's on the 20th, Friday the 20th
yeah.
of December, bearing in mind it happened on Christmas Eve, Andy messages and he goes, fancy a high-profile trade.
I love his narrative. Yeah. I love the way Andy approaches people.
Also, this is Andy O'Neill, who has a reputation of offering shit trades up.
Well, whatever.
He's a reputation of a trade shark.
He's a shark.
Especially
he's got the ability
to pull your pants down.
But he's also very charming.
Yeah,
very
he's a lovely guy.
He's one of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet.
It's all disarming.
Yeah.
That's the word.
That's the difference between him and Wolf.
Yes.
Wolf is not one of the nicest people
you'll ever meet. Andy's a gentleman.
Andy's lovely. And so he's able to get himself in these positions to have these conversations with a man like Marcus and enable him to feel okay with parting with Sergio Aguero.
So he says, it's like, I didn't think about anyway, so I didn't reply to him. Right, the next day, don't know if you
didn't reply. You just
really
no. I'm playing hardball.
First one, I didn't reply. I was like, oh, whatever. Anyway, so that was on a Friday morning. Obviously, it must be busy. Whatever. Saturday morning, don't know if you got my message. Because I changed phones. I was proposing a high-profile thing, and I was, oh, hi mate, sorry, very tempting, but I'm sticking with him. Thanks.
Okay.
What if I threw in a defender as a sweetener, as Aspilicueta, and then you mentioned a couple.
Oh, so the initial trade was just...
Like for like.
Just like for like? Oh, yeah. Wow.
The initial trade was Jesus for Aguero.
Yeah, and I was like, that's what I think.
I mean, that does sound like a trade Andy would propose.
That sounds more like an Andy trade.
So then I was like, no, it's all right. And then he comes back with Azpilicueta, Stones or Rudiger. And I was like,
ooh.
And I was like, well, I looked at the thing and I went, oof, when's the deadline? Need to have a little look. Because I know I've got Cianciu in my back. In my defence, Tarkowski, who does all right, but if Burnley don't do all right, he doesn't do all right. So I've got no defenders. But Azpilicueta is a midfielder who's on the game as a defender, so gets us. He plays.
What? Hang on a minute.
Hold on.
Wait.
Yeah. Hold on. Oh, is that Stamford Bridge?
Yeah.
No.
Dave was to me.
Dave was spending a lot of time next to Kurt Zouma. No. If he for a midfield.
But I don't exactly call myself some big time expert. Yeah. I got a little.
Anyway.
So I may be Gary Neville on a Monday night.
No, well, can I finish here, Marcus? Dave is not a midfielder.
So anyway, he's just kept. He's getting assists. He's getting some assists. So I said, when's the deadline? Need to have a little look through. Anyway, so I left it, blah blah. And then it came through on Christmas Eve, and I said, we're gonna go for this trade. Blah blah blah. Blah. We won't remember it until what's today. I went, fuck it, it's Christmas. Let's do it,
lad.
Right, Aguero for Jesus and Azpilicueta. I'm happy. I'm confident with it. It's moved me away. I got the highest game week. My short term goal. I know it's a long term game. My short-term goal was to get away from the catering zone, which I've done with points. I'm closer to eighth than I am to the catering zone in points. It's fine.
It's very bold. You're talking about a guy who, if he's playing, can score a lot of points. Here is my only beef with this trade.
Yeah.
You have Aguero. You have a trade on the table. What you should have done is what every drafter should do when someone comes to them with a trade.
Yeah.
Is they suddenly turn around and they go to every other drafter, they look through their team and go, right, I've got this guy, you've got, in this case, Aguero, what are you offering me for him? And it may be that nobody improves on that trade, but someone would have improved on Azpilicueta and the backup Man City striker.
Like Aguero. Like, that's all. That's all you need to say. It's Aguero, one of the best strikers in the Premier League history. And you've sent him out to Lads, go sit in the bench. And I know what you mean by the fact that you think that Pep is too unpredictable. He's not with him.
No, we'll see. Yeah, oh, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm. But this, to
me. What about Aubameyang? Why not get him?
This is exciting. Because he's going, mate. He's going in January. He's off. He's off.
Is he?
He's not happy.
Who?
Aubameyang. No, he's for the season.
Oh, no, he's staying. annoyingly, he's staying.
At the time, he wasn't.
Because Andy O'Neill offered me Aubameyang for Harry Kane.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
New Year's Day, Harry Kane gets injured for 4 months. So here's a thought for you. Andy, his front line could have been Jesus and Kane, depending on which way trades had gone. Instead, he's got Aubameyang and Aguero.
Yeah. But has he got much else?
Yes.
He's got Dele Alli. His team's coming into...
He's got Bernardo Silva.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be in the catering zone.
Yeah, not a chance.
Right, we've already done the email section, but there's one email that we left out for its own personal section.
Okay.
This email comes in from Jennifer Williams.
Okay.
Hey, Jennifer Williams, how you doing?
Hey. Hi.
So, she has brought up the idea of legacy leagues.
Was it her or was it her husband, Dave?
Great question. Maybe they were discussing it together. She certainly sent the email.
Yes, yeah.
Dave presumably was involved.
I remember reading that one, I think, and I was like, oh, okay.
So some people call these dynasty leagues. Dynasty leagues.
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the premise of these is that you draft players and they become part of your team. Not just for that season that you draft them, but for essentially until you let go of them. So they become your player season after season.
Oh.
The idea being that you build a legacy.
Yeah.
It's a very good, it's a very interesting idea. It works a lot in American sports leagues. Works a lot in baseball because of the way baseball scores points. Obviously, there's a lot of statistics involved in baseball. It's not. Can't quite go into the depth that you go in with football, But she has introduced the idea of us potentially turning the draft into a legacy league.
Now, so for example, if we were to say, that's a really good idea, and we started next season.
Yeah.
Would we take one player on from our squad that we've got this season into next season? How would we start?
We would start afresh because nobody drafted last year knowing that they would have the opportunity to hold on to that player.
And that would funnily enough, might have played an impact in the actually with Aguero, Jesus, for example, that might look like a good thing. Because I could then have Jesus for the next three or four or five.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, that trade had never possibly been put to
It might have gone ahead.
That's true.
If you have a situation where, if you're in a season where you're near to the top, it would also take out the trade deadline
for a
reason that will come up. If you're getting close to the end of the season and you just need a player who's scoring lots of points, who's going to get you over the finish line, you might be able to bring in a player who is, say, in his late 20s, early 30s, like Jamie Vardy, for example, early 30s, scoring goals. You could propose a trade with whoever has Vardy, in this case it's Dutt, say, hey, I've got James Maddison, he's 21. I will trade you Maddison, who's not scoring as many points as Vardy. I'll trade you him for Jamie Vardy.
To get you over the line at the end.
Now, if we were doing it the way we do the draft, that probably wouldn't seem like a great trade. Yeah. But if you were to do a legacy league, you're thinking towards the future. Mm-hmm. So the guy's giving up Vardy, he's giving up points, is also investing in the future. Mm-hmm. And the guy who's taking Vardy on board is all guns blazing for that particular season.
Yeah. How would the auction points work on that? For example, if you want to do it with, let's say, two players, for example, and you want to carry the two players over, how does that work with the auction?
That's a great question, and I wonder if it would be a case of you would take away the auction points. We all have 115 auction points like we always do. You then take away the next season however many auction points that player cost you. So you're then auctioning with whatever you have left.
Yeah, so if you've spent 40 on Maddison, for example, the next season you'd go in with
It's like you automatically have drafted him for 40 again the following season.
Oh, wet.
So you're also playing with that situation, whether they're actually worth that amount.
I mean, I'm a long-term investor in my draft team, so it appeals to my patient nature.
The reason why it also would change the trade situation is because the decisions you make trade-wise are going to... You couldn't just throw something away at the end of the season if you were, say, mid-table, because you'd be considering future seasons.
Yeah.
So you'd have to look after your team. You couldn't just sacrifice a player and, you know, to try and help your mate win.
Yeah. But that makes you more think about then what you're bidding for every year then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, wow. Makes it much more cerebral.
Oh, very good.
It does, yeah.
I honestly thought when we were going to have this conversation, we were just going to mention it and then kind of bypass it. I think
this is a feasible idea.
I think this is a conversation that opens up to the rest of the drafters, see what opinions they have on it.
Annoyingly, we can't start this season. We'd have to start the draft as per in August, knowing that it's going to be a...
Exactly, if we're going to do it.
So season 9...
would be take effect.
We'd have our first carrying overs.
That makes draft night
going
more
interesting.
Going into season nine
would be the first season we'd have those players.
That makes draft night really exciting then, doesn't it?
And also maybe a little bit shorter.
Well, it would make season 9 draft night a little bit shorter.
Yeah,
that's true. Draft 9 would be shorter. But draft 8, people, it's going to be competitive more than... Because everyone's always worried about... Because everyone thinks about one season, go, oh, he might not do well. Now everyone's thinking, right, player for 2 or 3 seasons. That's really good, though. Yeah, I like
great.
It.
Great. So, I like it. What we'll do... So the lads will obviously listen to this when it comes out.
Wolf will be negative.
Well, obviously.
Wolf won't be up for it.
No, of course not.
But now that we've said he won't be up for it, he'll be up for it.
Also, because he's the oldest in the... Because he's the oldest...
Wolf might be not around,
but... touch word.
Hold on. So, we have 115 points.
auction points. If I keep someone, as a legacy player, so let's say I keep James Maddison as a legacy player, do I have Maddison plus my 115 points?
No.
Or you take away whatever you spent on Maddison,
from
your 115 points. It's as though you've picked him again for the same cost.
So this comes about like how far in advance, how many years in advance you're trying to buy the young players, because obviously buying a Greenwood now is cheaper than buying a Greenwood in two seasons.
Exactly. And it's also predicting. But also there's those unpredictable ones. So that the year that Leicester won the league, and I think Phil got Mahrez for like 4 points or something. You'd keep hold of him. He goes to Man City. And you've got 4 points. And you've only spent 4 points on a legacy player.
Because a legacy player. Yeah, I love that term.
Because he's come through in that year. So you might have someone that has an absolute screamer that's come from relatively nowhere.
I'll tell you about how there's a practical example of how this is sort of being used at the moment. The Miami Dolphins, who I bring up every now and then, they have got something like 9, 10 or 11 draft picks in the next two drafts that are in the top two rounds or something like that. Which means what they also did is they traded away all of their decent players this year to bring in more draft picks. What that means is that they have all of these players who they can draft for the next 2 years. They'll all be the same age bracket and they'll all come to sort of like peak performance round about a similar time if you're suddenly basing the core of your team around those players at the same age. The idea being that Miami Dolphins in 5 seasons' time
could win the Super Bowl.
Could win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's the Miami Dolphins. We'll find some way to screw it up. But that's a blueprint for what the Legacy League would bring to Are You Having a Draft?
Gosh, that's really, oh, that's exciting. I'm looking through everybody's team at the moment.
I think we've piqued some interest here, Mark.
I think we have.
Once again.
I think you need to get the Godfather on the phone and tell him something that's going to blow his mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Godfather of the draft, welcome to Are You Having a Draft?
Hello.
Bless one and all. How are you? What did I
miss? You missed nothing as of yet, other than that we've just had a very interesting email through that we have had a conversation about, and we think you might also be able to impart some wisdom on the topic at hand. Are you ready?
Break it down.
Okay, so we've had an email through from Jennifer and Dave Williams, I suppose, as well. They have brought up the subject of legacy leagues, or you might know them better as dynasty leagues or dynasty leagues.
Yeah, we say dynasty because we don't have intelligent-sounding accents, Bradley, but thank you for reminding me.
What knowledge can you pass on about Dynasty, Legacy Leagues? Are you involved in one yourself by any chance?
So I had been involved with one.
Ooh.
Several, I don't know if they're mutual friends of ours, but they're indirect mutual friends of ours. And essentially, because I'm simply a stronger player than theirs, I eventually just kept winning the league. And because of the 2016 political election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, I was booted from the league for being a vocal anti-Trump advocate. So
sounds like a good league to be involved in.
Honestly, I'm probably just as well. But that being said, I've been involved. Now, they didn't do a full dynasty league. They only had, it was really frankly closer to what I would describe as a keeper league.
So
but the premise is very...
Let me just ask you there, what do you mean by a full dynasty league?
Well, there are certain, so you can have, of course, every possible league setting under the sun. Some people do that full dynasty, as you would say, league, where every single player on your roster could theoretically be kept from the year prior. In the version we were playing, you could choose up to 3 players. And the premise is, wherever you had drafted them at originally, you would get to maintain them at that draft position. So I know a person, for example, in the American football fantasy world, has a player named Alvin Kamara in a 12th round. That player would certainly almost always be a first rounder in any other standard fantasy draft. So every year, he only actually has to give up his 12th round pick to keep Alvin Kamara. So obviously, if you're able to think ahead, if you're able to project, you know, predict the trajectory of players, you end up being able to really outperform and stack your team.
Do you know what I like about that is the fact that it goes back to
The
original line that you just pick.
And then when it comes to your 12th turn, you skip.
Yeah. Is that, Darwin, is that involved in a snake draft? Is that, when you say 12th pick, is that in a snake draft format?
So I'm going to go one level deeper for you. Yeah. Yes, for sure snake, but it also works with auction drafts, okay? Mm. And in theory, the idea would be if you were able to get, you know, Christian McCaffrey, again, in the American fantasy football world.
Let me just give an English version for our English listeners. The English translation of that would be James Madison.
Mm. Right, okay.
So imagine James Madison, who presumably would be your first overall pick, or if you're in a auction league, would be the most expensive pick. Imagine if somebody had figured out very early on in his career that he was going to be a dynamo, and they were able to get him, you know, with a very late round pick or at a very cheap price. In theory, they would be able to maintain him on their roster at that previous price, not current market value. But I have found, generally, if you want to improve the quality of these leagues, you add a few little wrinkles. So let me just explain one tiny wrinkle you might consider. Whether it's an auction or a snake, I like the idea of sort of imposing a penalty or a tax on a kept or dynasty player. Here would be an example.
Okay.
If I had gotten, again, in my example, Christian, in your example, James, let's say I had picked that player with a 10th round pick originally.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea that every year I actually have to give up one better round of a pick to keep that player. So if I had picked him with my 10th round pick the first year, second year I'd have to use my 9th round pick, third year I'd have to use my 8th round pick, so on and so forth, so that eventually all players get thrown back into the talent pool, because at some point it's actually not a great value to use your keeper or your dynasty picks on them. The way you do it in auction draft is whatever price you would pay, the next year you would have to either pay that price plus $5 or that price plus 25%, whatever is larger. And the premise of that is, it still lets people partake somewhat in what a dynasty or a keeper league offers. However, it also keeps leagues from getting completely ruined, because there's going to be somebody who, just by pure chance or luck or perhaps skill, has 5 or 6 of the most important players possible because they just happen to get right, you know, get them on their rookie year or whatever the case may be. Mm. This allows them to get some advantage of that, but not sabotage a league for a decade, because that would ultimately just not be enjoyable.
So a keeper league is essentially where you're only keeping a handful of players, like 3. Is that what we're saying?
There can be all sorts of rules. I've been in keeper leagues where you've only been able to keep 1, keep 2, you keep 3. Again, you can sort of keep whatever level makes sense for you. And dynasty is really intended for you to have the bulk of your roster or a vast majority of your roster, quote unquote, kept. What you're trying to achieve, I keep wanting to say dynasty now, but really I'm supposed to say dynasty, okay? Let me stay authentic. Thank you. In a dynasty league, the idea is, if you've got a group of managers that you are close with and you know you want to play with them for the long haul, this is a really great way to keep people involved and to be thinking years ahead of a time, right? And there's going to be a lot of really fulfilling moments where you might pick somebody with a late round pick, knowing, you just know, you know something that nobody else does, and you're going to wreck your league for 4 or 5 years. That's a lot of fun. One other element I'm going to throw on top of that, if that is your goal of playing Dynasty, which for most people it is, I would also suggest you guys consider what I would call a jackpot payout. And here's what I mean by this. I think you guys would consider adding, it could be a small amount, it can be a large amount, but some additional money with your buy-in that goes into a quote-unquote jackpot side pot. And maybe it's, if you guys have a $100 buy-in league, maybe it's an extra $10 or $20.
Whatever. Never getting Wolf to agree to that.
Okay, you put that in the side pot, and that side pot keeps growing until somebody has won your league in back-to-back seasons. Now, you could just leave it in cash. You could put it in an investment vehicle like an equity or Bitcoin or whatever matters most to you. The idea, though, is that it's a tiny amount right now, but if you guys are going to play together for the next 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years, mm-hmm. it might be 20 years before somebody wins a league back-to-back, because it's very difficult to do, especially if the rest of the league knows that person has a chance to take everybody's jackpot if they win their second year. Mm-hmm. What then becomes really fun is when that pot finally does get won by somebody 15 years from now or 20 years from now, and they get this outsized chunk of money. It really didn't feel like it cost everybody that a whole lot. And again, it keeps everybody in the league, mm-hmm. keeps people from sabotaging their teams, makes them more active through the year, especially because even if they think they're a loser and they're not going to win this season, if they're playing against that previous year's champion, knowing that if he or she wins again, there's a good chance they're going to get the jackpot. They're going to care a lot more about their roster. And really, that's all we care about, right, is we want to reinforce people wanting to communicate, play at a high level, and actually care, right? Another sort of wrinkle, I guess, worth mentioning is if at any point while doing a keeper league, one of your managers decides they don't want to play fantasy any longer, this is a little bit of a conundrum, because in theory, they're probably not wanting to play because they probably don't have great keepers, and they're sort of, they've sabotaged whatever new manager will take over that team. And in the league that I mentioned that I was in briefly before being booted in 2016, I had inherited the rough cycle, guys. I had inherited a terrible team with terrible keepers. And season one, I think I was the only manager who did not keep a single player, because this person clearly had no idea what they were doing. But by year two, I had two or the three of the most important keepers. And of course, I was very happy to keep them moving forward. But I was only probably able to make that happen because I did have all of my roster spots available to me during the draft.
That brings about an interesting point. Yeah. So every now and then, we might have a drafter who goes to a wedding and decides to skip a year. Are you saying they would then have to, in your experience, they have inherited teams in the past or just completely redrafted all over again?
Yeah, it can be either scenario. I mean, really, if somebody has to go to a wedding, in my opinion, the easy solution is they should nominate somebody knowledgeable to draft on their behalf.
Caretaker manager.
Yeah, we do that anyway.
It's totally effective. It's fun. It gets them off the hook. And I don't know how it works with Premier League. You guys ever have players that just auto-draft?
If you're not here, you're not in the league.
Even if you wouldn't allow auto draft, would you allow a replacement manager or sort of a designated, drafter just for draft day? Would that be acceptable for you guys?
So what we have done in the past is we've had something that is known as a caretaker manager. And the idea being that the missing drafter tries to instruct the caretaker with directions for how to deal with the draft. Now, because of the inexperience of our country in general with drafting techniques, it usually means we're bringing in someone who does not know what they're doing, and you're at a disadvantage no matter what. You're sort of hoping that they don't screw you over too badly. Mm-hmm. Phil, this season, is second from bottom in the league. He had a caretaker manager at the start of the season who drafted him a load of players who then went off to Spain. So there's that risk. Darwin, we will investigate this topic much more, I think. It's sparked a lot of ideas. And thank you very much for your time and your insight, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Darwin.
Absolutely.
Have
brilliant.
A great day.
Yeah.
Great day, mate.
Thanks,
brilliant.
Godfather.
Good to hear from you. Guys, go have fun. And let me know when you want me to come on and talk about why you have to just do option drafts. No more snake drafts in the future.
We'll save that for another call.
That's really
Well, we're already on the auction drafts, but I feel like with this new legacy, it might take us back to a snake draft, if only temporarily.
No. It will work. Trust me, it will work perfect with auction. It'll work perfect with auction.
Fair enough.
Same premise. Anyways, guys, it's been a pleasure. Have fun. Good luck.
Thanks, Darwin.
Darren, absolutely brilliant, mate.
Godfather of draft. Thank you very much.
Godfather out. Cheers.
Speak soon. Bye.
He knows so much stuff.
Really
it's a completely
brilliant.
Different thing in America. Completely different level.
Completely different. And obviously,
there's a lot of changes that would have to be made to suit the Premier League, to suit the idea of players going in and out of the league, to suit Brummett going off to Australia for a wedding of someone he doesn't even know.
I love the fact as well, he's like, so if you've been doing it for 7, 10, 15, 20 years, it's like, what?
Mate, we've been doing it for nearly, we've been doing it for 8 anyway, so 7 this year, sorry.
Yeah.
Come to 8, like, yeah.
Yeah. We've sparked some ideas, haven't we?
Yeah, 100%. That's a great, mate. We have to look, you have to look into that, man.
Are you looking 100%. Up Legacy Leagues, Pete?
Yeah.
what have you found?
Well, I was actually just Googling, like, financial markets, because, like, basically, it's almost like we're turning this in, like, not, in, this is in a negative way. Yeah. Mm. It's almost like we're turning this into, I'm going to be putting more effort into forecasting the future of this fantasy football than I am in forecasting the future of my pension investment.
And which you have more fun with, Pete?
And arguably, which of them are more successful?
Shall we play a quick game?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's play a sister act.
What the hell is this? Sister,
I got my own mind. We all know how goals are scored.
Yeah.
But what do those goals need?
Assists.
Assists need someone to set them up. I am going to reel off some head-to-head battles. I'm going to name two players, and you are going to pick the player that you think has the most assists so far this season.
Oh,
just assist, not assist and assist.
Just assist. You're going to write your answers down.
Yeah.
And the person with the most correct answers
wins.
So, the first head to head, TAA versus KDB.
Oh.
Trent Alexander-Arnold, Kevin De Bruyne, who has the most assists so far this season? Pete, let's go with you first. Your answer is?
KDB.
Yare.
KDB.
Marcus?
KDB.
Very good. The correct answer was Kevin De Bruyne. Everyone gets a point. Number two, Raul Jimenez. And Bernardo Silva. Marcus. Yare.
Jimenez.
Pete.
Got to go with my boy Jimenez.
Very good. Jimenez has 6 assists. Bernardo Silva has 4.
Yes!
You're my boy Jimenez.
You're my boy Blue. Matchup number 3. Andrew Robertson. Up against James Maddison.
How many points has Robertson got this season?
Can't tell you. Yare, let's start with you.
Robertson.
Pete.
Unfortunately, I have had to go against my boy, and I've gone for Robertson.
Oh, I can't believe
Robertson.
And Marcus has gone for Robertson. James Maddison has 5 assists.
I think Robertson has 8.
Andrew Robertson has 6.
Oh, sorry.
Matchup number 4.
I thought you were bottom that, mate.
Serge Aurier. Up against Luca Digne.
Jeez. Oh, that's a good one,
that. That is.
That's, yeah, that's a good one, that.
100% for beating Yare so far, after 3. Marcus not far behind.
Oh, I don't bot this, Yare.
66 points.
Oh, God. I'm wavering here. Jeez, I'm going to bot this one, haven't I?
No, should have called this Sister.
Ah,
that's a good one. This is a good one. This is actually a good one, this.
How many people would get that one?
Chicken tomorrow, man.
Yeah, tomorrow. Sister.
I knew how much I missed you. that's a good one.
Everyone written down?
Yes. Do you know what? I'm going to bottle this, actually. Yeah. That's it. I'll probably do this. Yeah, I'm done.
You better not get this.
Pete.
I've gone for the obvious, possibly
probably wrong. Big name.
Yare.
Aurier.
Marcus.
Big name.
The answer, with 5 assists to 3, Serge Aurier.
Yes! Boom! Woo!
We're halfway through.
Ooh.
And Yare has 4 out of 4. Ooh. He has 3 out of 4. Marcus has 2 out of 4. Still all to play for. Matchup number 5. Jamie Vardy is up against Will I Am.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't think it's close because one game just stuck out to me on Monday.
Marcus, I'll stop you. I wrote it down before we go.
Clearly, I've gone for William.
Oh.
Yeah,
I bottled it and went for Vardy.
Pete.
I've gone for Vardy.
Yare basically gave the answer away.
Yeah.
With 5
I've already written it down,
to so. 4 is Jamie Vardy.
Because of the Southampton.
Matchup number 6. Felipe Anderson up against Wilfred Zaha. Yare still operating at 100%. Yare. Pete.
Zaha.
Marcus.
Anderson.
I think I'm right.
Felipe Anderson got 4 assists. Zaha got 3.
Hey,
Marcus is back in the game.
It might be this weekend actually as well. Anderson chipped in with an assist this weekend.
I was thinking
that Anderson's done. Yeah, he's the last few weeks he's done right. I've just not heard from Zaha at all this season.
Speaking as the guy who has Crystal Palace's penalty taker, I have not heard from Zaha.
That's true.
And therefore, I haven't heard from the boy. Matchup number 7. Good job, I'm not better. Marcus Rashford is up against Mo Salah. Pete.
Rashford.
Yare.
Rashford.
Marcus Salah. The answer. 5-4 in favour of Marcus Rashford.
No way.
I didn't think anyone.
What? No, it was Rashford.
Oh, Rashford. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry.
I didn't think anyone else had scored for Man U. That's why I went for Salah.
So the current score, Marcus in third place with 3 points. Pete in second place with 5 points. And one ahead with 6 points is Yare. Going into the final round.
Now,
you
assist
are,
assist.
Mate. You've got to lose.
Mate, I'm a champ. I already know how to win.
Squeaky bum time.
Yeah, mate. Two champs. Two champs against each other, duking it out. You know what that feels like, Marcus.
We are down to the final round. Assist, assist. Stroke, assist. Your two players are Roberto Firmino. Hey, Bubby, what's the French for Bubba? And Daniel James.
Ooh, that's a tasty one. Cat
pigeons. Cat pigeons.
Marcus.
Bobby.
Yare.
Bobby.
Pete.
Hey, Bobby.
The answer, I mean, essentially means that Yare is won no matter what, because Pete and Yare advanced the same way. The answer was Daniel James. And that draws to a conclusion. A sister, sister. Or
woo!
A sister act.
Hey,
take your pick.
Good game, good game.
That was a great game, mate. Really,
Marcus scored 3, Pete scored 5, and Yare scored 6. Congratulations,
woo!
Yare, you are this week's winner.
Aye, aye.
Yeah!
That's it. Every day is school day.
Thank you, as always, our wonderful producer, Zach Brown.
Cheers, Zach, mate. Struth galah. Also, thank you to Kate Bellamy for the artwork at kate.may.this.
as well as Matthew Melaloo. At Matthew Melaloo.
Thanks also to CJ Pandit for our wonderful music.
CJ, shoulda, woulda, coulda, Pandit!
And thank you also to Will Coburn at wcoburnphotography.com. Possibly also at Will Coburn with one L. Maybe with two L's. At Having a Draft, follow him on Instagram. So we should probably look at that.
Definitely. And last but not least, as always, thanks to our wonderful friends and hosts at Acast.
Acast, baby cakes. Thank you. Talking to you, Acast. We should also say thank you to Yare Jagby Fume. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed that.
I'd have to come every week if you'd let me.
I mean, you came for a hot topic.
Yeah, it's exciting.
That,
yeah, I really enjoy
Legacy
that.
League.
That's got
chat.
Squirrels running riot. Just, I think it's bloody brilliant. Sorry, I think it's such a great idea.
Squirrels running riot.
Yeah, in my squirrels. Mind at the moment.
We should also thank Peter Everill. Cheers, Pete.
Thanks,
cheers,
Pete. Mate.
Thanks for having me. Top episode. Trying to get my head around what I'm going to do with this Legacy League.
You're so fluffy.
He's so confused.
He's so...
I should... say thank you to Pete for my Christmas present that he got me.
Oh, what nice. What did he get you?
He got me a picture of a football shirt.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. What yeah. Is that? Got me a printed out picture of a football shirt. So thank you very much for that, mate.
Very nice.
Yeah, great present.
Well, there's a reason why.
It's not turned out. Up.
Well, hopefully you should know.
Is that they're out of stock.
Yeah.
So the Bruce Banana retro shirt that they've put back into the 1992, is it, Bradley?
It was the 91-92 season that it came to play, yeah.
Put it on sale before Christmas. It sold like hotcakes. A lot of angry gooners over Christmas, and not just because of their team.
They're always angry anyway.
Yeah. But you've been checking every day to see when it comes back into stock, yeah.
You got it there?
Yeah.
Wash it off.
Oh, dude. Did you even not got that one?
No, I do not, no. Pete got me a picture of it for Christmas. Twitter, Instagram, at Having a Draft.
And our brand spanking new email address, arehavingadraft@gmail.com.
Thank you for your emails. We've got a team, force, working on reading your emails that are being read. And sorry that we can't bring up everybody's email, but thank you for them, and we will be doing our best to get to them all. Twitter, Instagram is cooking off.
It's amazing. It's great stuff.
It's incredible.
We're looking really good.
I love the history stuff that's come through recently.
Especially the draft winners, actually, and different players from those.
Yeah. More to come, I'm sure.
Can't wait.
The social media team has been nailing it.
Nailing it. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us for the first Are You Having a Draft episode of the new year, 2020, the new decade, the future. Until next time, draft safe.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.